It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, Americans traveling abroad this summer may have concerns about U.S. foreign relations and changing travel laws. I'll talk with two consular officers who are originally from Iowa about what U.S. embassies do for American travelers. But first, the new documentary, Farmer Veteran, a combat veteran's fragile struggle to overcome trauma and transition to life as a farmer, follows native Iowan Alex Sutton as he tries to forge a new identity and build a life after three combat tours in Iraq. This documentary is now streaming on PBS's Independent Lens, and Alex Blair is one of the filmmakers behind the documentary. She is with us now. Hello, Alex.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And we're going to hear a little bit of sound from the documentary in a moment. But before we do that, just give me a little bit of an overview. Who is Alex Sutton?
Yes. So Alex Sutton is a veteran now living in North Carolina. And he did three tours in Iraq and then came to North Carolina, where he met Jessica, who throughout the film, because we were with them for several years, becomes his wife. And together they attempt to start a farm.
And how did you make a connection with him in the first place?
Yes. So I had the very wonderful job of doing outreach to farmers in the state of North Carolina. I was part of this very wonderful nonprofit with the enviable job of making stories about farmers that were transitioning from tobacco into growing other crops. And through that work, had met Alex Sutton, and that was right at a time in my life where I was interested in learning about documentary film. I have a background in radio and photography, but had never made a film before. And so I had met Alex Sutton on this like farmer outreach, and he was so inspiring and so motivated, and it just seemed like it would be like a very simple, like 4-minute film that we could put on the internet. And now, 6 years later, it's this incredible feature film that we get to have on PBS. So it was a very unexpected journey.
Well, and you found that the story was a lot more complicated than you originally felt.
Absolutely. When we began, we were very interested in looking at the connection between agriculture and returning soldiers. And I had actually done a radio story a couple years earlier on that phenomenon, which at that time in the mid-2000s was a beginning trend of veterans turning to agriculture as a positive way of reintegrating after war experience. And we were looking at very much the healing benefits of agriculture. We thought it was going to be a very, not easy, but maybe a very straightforward story. And then as we took our time and built trust and built relationship with the veteran and his wife, as you just mentioned, learned that we were pretty naive to the burden of mental health trauma and PTSD in veteran communities, and the three of us making this film are all civilians, so our eyes and understanding started greatly shifting and changing to hold all of that new understanding.
Well, let's hear just a moment of sound from the film. This is Alex Sutton, the veteran who's profiled in the documentary, Farmer Veteran, talking about himself and his career.
I retired in July last year. I was medically discharged from the Army. I was 100% disabled. At my last tour in Iraq, I got hit in an IED, and it tore me up really bad. after a bunch of surgeries and doctors and everything else later on, you know, they told me, hey, you're either going to have to retire or you're going to have to take a desk job. And I couldn't do it. So I picked the retirement.
That's Alex Sutton, a veteran profiled in the new documentary, Farmer Veteran. I'm talking with filmmaker Alex Blair right now. As you got to know Alex Sutton and talked with him about what he was going through, he seemed to have a really difficult time talking about the post-traumatic stress disorder that he was struggling with. As you were trying to talk with him and try to understand what he was going through, What else were you doing to try to understand really what this can do to a person?
That is a great question. And I think, you know, the phrase, like, it takes a village to raise a child, I think that applies to documentary filmmaking as well. We absolutely recognize kind of the limits of our knowledge and understanding. So we sought advice and guidance through different consultants. We worked with several trauma therapists, a couple people that worked with the VA. We had the incredible opportunity to meet and work with Dr. Irving Koo, who is one of the directors of mental health services at the Arkansas VA. And he has been just an invaluable ally in helping us to understand just the many, many faces that trauma and PTSD take. I think that's one thing in our culture is we want to think that there's a quick fix or there's one pill that will make it all better, and mental health issues and trauma do not work that way at all, and it can manifest very differently in different individuals. And this is the story of just one veteran, and though his experience, I think, is mirrored by a lot of veterans coming back from PTSD and trauma, whether it's from war or other hard things that happen in any life. Like, it doesn't have to be just veterans. It could be rape survivors or early childhood trauma. Like, trauma is a very insidious and nonlinear. I think that's one thing we greatly came to understand, is that it's a very slow process of healing, and it looks different for everybody. So we constantly sought feedback. We had trauma therapists help us with our interview questions so that we could show up to Alex Sutton and his wife, having educated ourselves very powerfully, but also using the resources of people wiser than us to inform how we could show up compassionately and thoughtfully.
One of the things that really struck me, you mentioned as a filmmaker, kind of your naivete going into this process. I was also struck by the hopefulness, the optimism that Alex and his fiance and then his wife had about their future and about what starting a farm could do for Alex to help ground him. You paint a really heartbreaking picture of that sense of hope and simplicity at what, you know, what he feels that getting back to the land could do for him.
Yes, and I think that that hope is still there. I think it's a lot maybe slower to manifest than you know, anybody would like. Like, they're a common question we get is, where are they now, right? Because we've been working on this project since 2012, and we finished filming a while ago, and they're still on that land. They're still kind of figuring out how it can be healing and not overwhelming. But one statistic that I, or one data point that really humbles me, is that the USDA definition of a beginning farmer is 10 years or less. And, like, you know, any other job, you do it for 10 years. I think in our culture, you're perceived as an expert, but in farming, it is a brutal, overwhelming teacher. And I think in many ways, there is a lot of hope, and yet it can't be simple. Like you just said, it is a hard profession to take on. And I think in some ways that makes it great for returning soldiers, because they can be outside. They don't have to be around, you know, crowds of people. There is a lot of peacefulness. But in the same way, if you're trying to find belonging and meaning in a new profession, it can be very isolating and very lonely, especially if you don't have education or community supporting you to do that work.
I want to play another moment from the documentary. You talked about the treatments that Alex was going through. And there's one moment where you ask him how many medications he's on. And so he goes into the kitchen and he pulls out this box of all the different medications. And then he goes through them for you. Let's listen to him describing some of the medications that he's on.
Prazosin, nightmare control. Concerta, these are my energy pills. Oomph to get out of bed and go. Zolpin something or another. Oxycontins. fluoxetine. These are the ones, these are my antipsychotic pills. Lunesta, Robaxin, Clonopin, my anxiety pills, Dioxazine, Imitrex, and fish oil. It is supposed to help with my blood pressure.
How do you feel, and like in your head?
The mental side?
Yeah.
I feel tranquilized a lot. I mean, that's the best way to say it.
That's, again, another moment from the documentary Farmer Veteran, the voice of Alex Sutton. And that gives you just an idea of the kinds of interventions that people were trying to help Alex with. He also was involved in cognitive behavioral therapy as well, or talk therapy as well. How much of an insight did you get into the kind of help he was receiving?
We got an insight according to, you know, him and his wife, Jessica. We never met directly with any of his providers, and I think part of that is the very respectful world of, you know, patient-doctor privacy. But just understanding the amount of drugs he takes, and over the course of us filming him, how often that changed, and it did change. And sometimes he was seeing a talk therapist. Sometimes he did not have one. And I don't know how much of that was because he didn't want to or because it didn't work. I mean, one issue that we saw, because they're very rurally based, is the nearest person that they could talk to is a long drive away. And when you're trying to run a farm or just manage anxiety and not being around people or not being in traffic, that is a real issue for rural veterans. And in our research, that was something that we found, is this disconnect between where the health providers are and where the veterans are, and how sometimes those distances can be hours and hours. And in trying to manage a day, like I think of his wife, Jessica, who is one of the strongest women I know, she has to manage all of that.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Alex Blair is one of the filmmakers behind the new documentary, Farmer Veteran. It follows native Iowan Alex Sutton as he tries to forge a new identity and build his life after three combat tours in Iraq. It's streaming now on PBS's Independent Lens. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Right now, we're talking about a new documentary called Farmer Veteran, a combat veteran's fragile struggle to overcome trauma and transition to life as a farmer. It follows native Iowan Alex Sutton as he tries to become a farmer and to rebuild his life after three combat tours in Iraq. The program will air tonight on Iowa Public Television World at 7 p.m. and again tomorrow at 8 a.m. at 2 p.m. again on IPTV World tomorrow. And of course, as I mentioned, it's streaming on Independent Lens on PBS.org. With me is filmmaker Alex Blair. She's one of the filmmakers behind the documentary. And we're going to bring someone else into the conversation in just a moment, Alex. But before we do that, I want to ask you, there is a moment in the film where there's an incredible twist, I guess, in the story. But this isn't just a story. This is a man's life. And we learn that Alex's memory, what he feels happened to him, doesn't line up with the records that you were able to get from the military. So it really casts his memory into doubt. How did you react when you realized that maybe things didn't add up that way?
Yes, I mean, you speak very well to that. It was a big shift, and I would say the baseline emotion of our reaction was curiosity. We very much wanted to understand why was there this discrepancy, and what could that be about him that was going on, that he would say one thing to us and then we would find something else out in these formal records. And so I think it was that place of curiosity and compassionate understanding that led us to want to be essentially detectives in a way, trying to figure out why there was that difference, and to approach it extremely compassionately, because as you say, this was a man's identity and his life. And I find it a very human emotion. We all want to be, you know, better than we are, or remember ourselves in a different way. I think what he is going through and his sense of self-identity and wanting to be this perfect soldier has a lot to do with belonging, and I think the reasons that people go into service in the first place. So, yes, a place of curiosity and surprise.
Well, and I got the impression, just as a viewer, that he really firmly believed in his memory, in his version of events. Do you feel that was something that he believed was true?
I do in many ways. I think the further I explored and the research that we did on trauma and trauma coping is that stories are ways that we help ourselves survive and ways of coping, and that this is across the board in mental health studies of how stories help us to survive. I do think that he, you know, the lines between how much he is fully believing that this is his reality or that it is a survival mechanism doesn't really matter to me. What I think is important is that this is a version of reality that he believes at this point, whether it's serving him to keep knowing this or would it serve him more to kind of explore where those differences are. And just as a caveat, like, records aren't always perfect either. We exhausted ourselves trying to get down into the depths, and the military world is not an easy one for civilians to navigate, even with all the resources and efforts that we had. So one thing we keep hearing is that records can be wrong, but in this case there was a stark difference, and I do think that he holds on to those stories in terms of shaping who he is and understanding what happened to him, along with very severe mental health experiences and all the medications he's on. I don't think help him understand his reality.
Have Alex and Jessica seen the documentary?
Yes, and in fact, yes, they've seen versions of it, and in fact, they watched we premiered nationally on Monday night in honor of Memorial Day, and we got text messages from them after they watched it, I think with some friends, or at least I know they were with Jessica's parents, and we got a text message that said, wow, amazing job. So that feels really good to know that. I think as a documentary maker, at the end of the day, you want to honor your story and your audience, but also, of course, you want to honor the people you made the film about. And I just think they are amazingly courageous and brave people to let us come into their lives for multiple years and show kind of the messy, dark stuff as much as the joyful things. I mean, that is a huge act of trust and vulnerability, and I am so grateful to them that they let us into their lives to tell this story.
I'm talking with Alex Blair. She's one of the filmmakers behind the new documentary, Farmer Veteran, a combat veteran's fragile struggle to overcome trauma and transition to life as a farmer. I want to bring John Wallace into the conversation now. He is the PTSD program coordinator for the Central Iowa VA. He's also a clinical psychologist. Hello, John.
I'm here.
Thank you so much for being here. And PTSD is something that so many men and women who serve in the armed forces deal with after a tour of duty. And it seems to manifest itself in so many different ways. But give us kind of a baseline idea of what is PTSD?
Well, so first of all, back to your point, ma'am. In a sense, there isn't a PTSD presentation. There are actually 20 criteria and symptoms that go along with the PTSD diagnosis, but you don't need to have all of them. And so without going into great gory detail, the idea is that two people could both meet the PTSD diagnostic criteria and have zero symptoms in common. So people can look angry and irritable, anxious and uptight, down and depressed. There's a whole range of presentations that people can have. So really, in a sense, there's no PTSD look.
So, it can manifest itself in so many different ways, which I can imagine makes it really difficult to diagnose.
I would argue that it's probably the most complicated diagnosis in psychiatry.
why is it important to diagnose PTSD if, again, it looks so different in so many different people?
Well, and I think reasonable clinicians may differ on how important it is to actually, in a sense, light the lamp with the psychiatric PTSD diagnostic criteria, because really most of us, when we are certainly interacting with veterans clinically, are more interested in helping the veteran to obtain the most effective treatment for whatever symptoms that they have. So in a sense, I think you could argue that making a strict diagnosis is not as important as determining which of these symptoms are the most problematic for a veteran, and then targeting those based on the veteran's needs and preferences.
Well, and as it manifests in so many different ways, there also seems to be a spectrum from PTSD symptoms making someone uncomfortable or interfering with their sleep to the far end of the spectrum where it can make them dangerous to themselves and others.
Well, certainly if a person is manifesting a lot of, say, depressive symptomatology along with their PTSD, that would, we know that people who are feeling very down, depressed, and particularly hopeless tend to be at a relatively high risk for self-harm. And similarly, if a person is manifesting more as edgy, angry, irritable, that, of course, can predispose to interpersonal conflicts and that kind of thing.
There are two main ways to treat PTSD. So let's talk about each of those. And one of them is memory processing. What is that?
Well, so I think that's largely what people think of when they think of PTSD treatment. This would be when, in the therapy sessions, the patient or veteran would primarily be speaking in detail in one of a few fairly structured and programmatic ways about a specific traumatic event or circumstance. And the idea is that the ways that we have people do that, we have learned over the years, are actually helpful in dialing back the intrusiveness and disruptiveness of particular trauma memories. We unfortunately can't give people amnesia or make horrible memories not horrible, but we certainly have things in our arsenal that decrease the adverse impact and really can markedly improve people's quality of lives.
Well, and
so that would be the trauma processing variant.
All right, and these memories that cause so much trouble. I mean, for most of us, over time, our memories tend to fade, maybe even morph a little. But these memories that you're trying to work through, they are the ones that come back almost as if the person was reliving them again, right?
Well, and this is, I think, one of the crux of the differences, in a sense, why I might argue that the diagnosis is less important than what symptoms are prominent. So a subset of people who have PTSD and actually meet the PTSD diagnostic criteria seem to have this abnormal memory phenomenon where they have the trauma memory is one, really doesn't seem to have faded. And I've talked to hundreds of veterans over the last probably 9 years or so that I've been here. And in hundreds of those cases, I've heard the same story, even from our Vietnam-era veterans, which is that the memory of the traumatic event is as clear as the day after it happened, that kind of thing. And I certainly don't have any memory of anything that's as clear now as it was the day after the event occurred. That's not really normal memory process. And the other unfortunate factor about this sort of abnormal memory phenomenon is that for some people, there seems to be an unusually clear sensory component, almost like a snippet, and it might be a sound, it might be a smell, it might be a visual image, almost like a photograph. But I've heard from, again, hundreds of people that when the memory is activated, it's as though I can hear, again, perhaps the screaming, or I can smell a particular smell that was associated with the event, or it might be an image of the event. And so for people who have that, really this memory processing approach is probably what it's going to take to move that along. Doing something more present-focused or symptom management really isn't going to help get those stuck memories unstuck.
Well, and you mentioned symptom management, which goes hand in hand with the memory processing in treatment most of the time. We heard from the documentary, we heard Alex Sutton dumping out his box of the different medications, which is probably an experience that a lot of people who are dealing with this have, of these many different medications. But let's talk about the symptoms that can be treated.
Well, so first of all, just medication-wise, again, I'm a psychologist, not a psychiatrist, so that's a piece of the little outside of my scope of practice. Other than, there certainly are at least a couple of classes of medication that we know evidence-wise are helpful, one being the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and the other, I think I heard the veteran mention that he is taking Prazosin for nightmares, and again, that's been proven pretty conclusively to be helpful for a large number of people. But medication aside, the symptom management approach is basically, there's sort of another group of people who have PTSD who may be troubled not so much by this sort of abnormally clear memory phenomenon, but more by some of the other others of the 20 criterion symptoms. And many of those overlap with other mental disorders like persistent negative emotional state, decreased interest or participation in significant activities, inability to experience positive emotions. Those are all symptoms that are associated with depressive disorders. And similarly, hypervigilance, exaggerated startle response, sleep disturbance, are pretty closely associated with most anxiety disorders. And, of course, irritability, angry outbursts, we can treat by using straightforward anger management techniques. So symptoms like that we can treat directly and very effectively, regardless of what the underlying cause is. And that doesn't involve reprocessing or reliving bad memories. It's basically about teaching different types of either thought process or behavioral skills that people can use to manage those things. So that's really the other main way to go at that. And for people for whom this memory thing is not the crux of the problem, probably doing something more symptom management-wise. Again, as a veteran, I think may have talked about cognitive behavioral therapy may well be very helpful.
And I want to return to the film for just a moment. Alex Blair, the filmmaker, is still with us. And Alex, there's this wonderful moment in the documentary where Alex Sutton, the veteran that you were profiling, is talking to another veteran who's come to visit and take a look at the farm. He's thinking about doing something similar. And the two of them are talking about their PTSD. And They're laughing about it, and they're laughing with their girlfriends, wives about it as well, because it just seems so bewildering to them. I mean, I think that moment really captured, I mean, obviously most people don't usually laugh about it, but that sense of bewilderment of this isn't me in my own body. I don't have any control over this.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes in the film too. I think in one way, because there's this hunger for veterans to relate to each other, right? That's the other group of people that have gone through, you know, in some respect the same things they've gone through. So then to kind of share their struggle with all these different medications, like, oh, you've tried this, have you tried this one? What did that do to you? I think because it's, you know, mental health work is a very kind of lonely, stigmatized work, and then you pile on that the fact that, you know, veteran and civilian is such a giant divide in our community. So I think there, in the scene that you're mentioning, there is so much joy to interact with someone else who knows what you're going through. And I would say for the wives too, that you know, sometimes they are so alone in their experience of caregiving the person who is struggling with the mental health issue, for them to get together and be like, oh yeah, does that one make your man angry? Like, that makes my man angry. Mm-hmm. And I mean, human beings need other human beings to, you know, I think heal. So,
well, I hope that this helps a lot of us understand at least a little bit of this experience of living with PTSD. Alex Blair, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was an honor to be on your show.
Alex Blair, one of the filmmakers behind the new documentary, Farmer Veteran. And John Wallace, thank you.
My pleasure.
John Wallace, PTSD Program Coordinator for the Central Iowa VA. This is Talk of Iowa.